So perhaps we know now that we can't know the mind itself as an object because it's a subject, but we can begin to know our mind through the mental events that flow through it. So sometimes mind is referred to as primary mind and mental events as secondary mind. So citta, or primary mind, the essential function of that mind is to cognize the object. And that gives rise to mental events, citta dharmas in Sanskrit. Mental events, mental functions, mental concomitants, which arise simultaneously with consciousness. So primary mind is sometimes said to be the raw confrontation of the mind with the object, the raw cognition, the basic act of awareness. I don't know if we ever really experience that. I think Bhante in Know Your Mind says sometimes you do first thing in the morning. You wake up and nothing much is happening. It's not my experience, so I don't know what that's like. I wake up and I've got lots of mental events. So some of you may wake up and, you know, you've got that moment of raw cognition of the world you live in. And the mental events give mind its specificity. Specificity. Each moment of mind is a feeling tone. So we have objects with qualities and characteristics experienced by a subject with characteristics. So mind is indefinable, but it defines itself, as it were, through the mental events. So it's a bit like you have water with, you know, ripples on the surface. And you have mind as the water and the ripples as the mental events. So mental events are the way in which the mind, the grasper, the grasping subject, becomes involved with its object, the grasped, and picks out the specific characteristics of those objects and gives consciousness its tone. So I think, again, in Know Your Mind, Bhante likens the mind and mental events as like a king with its ministers or a hand with its fingers. But they're always in conjunction. Mind and its attendant mental factors arise together. And there's always the same tone through that experience. So if mental events are unskillful, then mind is unskillful. And the analogy used is like dissolving salt or sugar in water. So there's, you dissolve salt in water, it all tastes salty. Or if you dissolve sugar in water, it all tastes sugary. So if your mental events are unskillful, then the mind associated with those mental events are also unskillful. So do you ever have mind separate from mental events? So, well, there's a suggestion that you have this primary mind, this raw act of cognition, first thing in the morning when you wake up. But do we ever experience mind as such without mental events? Well, you can't have mental events without mind, because mind arises, mind and mental events arise simultaneously. You could, in theory, have mind without mental events, but do we ever experience that mind? Well, we don't experience with our ordinary mind. We can't experience mind as such, mind in its pure sense, with our ordinary mind. We can only experience mind as such, the one mind, pure mind, through prajna, through intuitive wisdom. Well, you could say, well, we experience mind as such all the time, but it's always manifested as something. So in the Chinese Huayan school, they talk about you never get gold. You always get a gold something. So you never get the essence of gold. You have a gold brooch or a gold lion or a gold ornament or a gold chair, or you never get just gold. So they use that analogy. So yes, in a way, mind as such is there all the time, but it's always manifesting through mental events. So Milarepa is encouraging the shepherd, isn't he, in the shepherd's search for mind, to find his ordinary mind and then to find his absolute mind, as it were, the mind beyond subject and object, which one, we can only know with prajna, and you can't know it as an object. And it's interesting what Milarepa says that the shepherd needs in order to do this. He says the shepherd needs faith. So we need shraddha to develop prajna. He says the shepherd needs humility. So I suppose we need to know that we don't know. He says the shepherd needs zeal. So we need energy and virya to practice, to give rise to prajna. He says the shepherd needs the understanding of karma, or the conditioned nature of all things. He says the shepherd needs a teacher. He further says that the shepherd needs to set up a field of merit through skillful actions, to be able to disregard comfort and suffering, to have the courage of fearlessness and defiance of death. So I think that's quite interesting as well. So it's a rigorous practice to know your mind, to come to know your true mind. You have to be prepared to be fearless and have defiance of death, because in a way you're going beyond the ego. The ego is going to die if we have an experience of the one mind. And then the shepherd goes to refuge. He's given the precepts, and Minarepa teaches him to meditate. He says, go away and meditate for 12 years, doesn't he? So he starts him on the path of regular steps, and of course eventually he has very good realizations.